Hello, everyone. We are back on a anti-Easter edition of the Fans of Power podcast. There will be no Media Orbs, no Plundor, nothing egg-related, no egg puns. It's just strictly some good old original He-Man talk on the, or related topic of He-Man there. I really fucked that up, didn't I? I just did not do a very good job with that. Well, it's live. Anyway, I'm Tyler Baker. With me, as always, is the mighty Joe Young, or mighty Amato. Joe Motto. My quick-witted banter sucks already, man.
You're rusty.
Maybe it's just because I took such a long-ass break. I'm botching this. Kevin, I am so sorry. We're here to praise the shit out of Kevin Sharp here. And I'm doing a terrible job of keeping people's interest already here. Joe, how are you?
Fantastic. Like I said, I woke up, didn't even know it was Easter until a relative called and wished me happy Easter, because, well, it's just odd. It's just a weird time right now with things going on, but otherwise I'm doing fantastic, and for this episode, it's like I'm almost going to be as much of the chat room as they are, meaning I don't know anything about Kevin's project, but all I know is I want to know. I'm intrigued about this. I want to hear what's going on. So it's like, you know, we figured, yes, we dedicate the whole episode to you. And obviously, whatever you're doing, I don't know if it was inspired by Masters of the Universe. Could be, I'm assuming. But that's why I'm just intrigued. So I know that, you know, obviously you'll take the floor. Tyler might probably will have a lot more questions. But it'll be great to find out what you got going on, because we need some original new content out there instead of a lot of rehashes of crap that they don't know how to, you know, give proper respect to. So something new. I always love seeing something new.
I guess Joe, since his laptop is busted and he can't see the chat room, I will quickly say let's welcome Adam Gabbard, Eric Amon, Febmon, Grim2, JSP. Kevin Sharp's in there as well, even though he's on camera. Lacey Dean, Michael Purvis, PapaHood69, Zentron, and I'm sure a few others will follow. I will keep an eye. I'll be back for questions at the end of the show.
And just so everyone knows, Kevin's favorite character is Manny Faces, so no questions about what who's Kevin's favorite character is. Let's be a little bit more original here tonight, here, people. I'm giving you a heads up. The question has already been addressed.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes later.
Damn it.
Well, Tyler, how did you want to head off and start off with Kevin? What did you want to ask?
Well, for people who are not familiar, Kevin is doing a project that's very He-Man Thundercat related. Not directly, but his project is heavily inspired by these two properties, as Kevin will elaborate here. And I've known about Kevin's project for several months. I mean, I've seen, like, early sketches of some of the stuff. He's kind of kept me in the loop on his progress on the characters, and even got to have a little input on one of my favorite characters that he drew too. Not much, but it was cool to, like, hey, he stuck with my suggestion. I feel pretty damn proud about that. Kevin, you take the floor here and kind of let everyone know what it's called, how you got started, and what your inspirations were, essentially. And we'll just kind of snowball from there.
Oh, yeah. Well, the name of my book is Dragon Guard. It's on Indiegogo. And I'd actually played around with the name a bit. It originally was Dragon Kin, then Dragon... let me see. I'm trying to remember the other one. It was pretty cool. Anyway, it evolved through a bunch of different iterations, and finally it was Dragon Guard. And I think we were sticking with that unless we run into any other problems with the name. But... I had come up with this about, let's see, probably about around the summertime, around July or early August or something like that. At least I had the germination of the idea. It came from a conversation I won't elaborate on, but it came with a conversation with somebody that kind of didn't go very well. And I finally just was like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. And I'd played around with the ideas and developed little things. And it's very much, I've described it on various live streams that I've been on and various things of media, like on Twitter and on even on Indiegogo for my pre-launch page. It's a love letter to all those really cool 80s properties, whether it's Thundercats, whether it's He-Man, whether it's Sektars, Conan, Visionaries. Really love the intro to Visionaries and all that.
Oh, isn't it badass? I like working out to the theme of Visionaries. Oh, it's epic, man.
Exactly, man. The Visionaries. If you go look at that animation and compare it, honestly, like, stylistically, it's just as, to me, it's almost on the same level as Thundercats. It's a shame that nobody really knows what Visionaries is, because if you look up the intro, it's just completely cool as all get out. The narration at the beginning and everything like that, man, just awesome. And so it's inspired by a lot of that stuff. I think that's one of my, it plays to one of my strengths. Drawing-wise, I draw a lot of, you know, the big guys really pretty decent, I'd like to say, anyway. And so I'm just, you know, drawing what I love. And it took a little bit of playing around with concepts and things like that, trying not to step on anybody's toes with the concepts, but still do something that's very familiar to me. And, you know, we've gotten to a point where some of our favorite properties aren't handled as well as they could be. And I, you know, that's where I went with this, was I was like, how would I do it? If they put me in the reins, how would I make it look, you know? And if you go to the Indiegogo link, you'll see some colored pages as well. And you'll be able to check out, you know, just my vision for the book. And I'm telling you, you know, the idea is, number one, keep the colors bright. I don't really, you know, like one of the things I noticed in one of our local comic shops is that the colors and things like that are really, you know, the colors are so good in comics nowadays that they understand certain, or they execute, and I wouldn't say understand, I think a lot of colors do, but like color theory and things like that, where, if you have a painterly style, a lot of the colors, the muted colors and things like that, there's more of that on the stands, but the problem is, you know, I don't think that draws kids' eyes. I think if everything is kind of looks the same across the shelves, I don't think it draws kids' eyes. And we need, for comics, you know, we can love comics all day long, but at the end of the day, if we don't have new readers, we won't have comics for very long. At least that's my approach to it anyway. And so I just, you know, I wanted it to look pop. I wanted it to look flashy, the colors to pop, the art to pop, and get people excited. Like you used to go in back in the 90s, like when, you know, Image first came out and you had Jim Lee on like X-Men and all these great things. That's my intent. You know, I just wanted people to be happy. You know, it's like when you go there, I want to get that new issue, you know, and I don't feel that nowadays. And maybe it's because I'm
Do you feel like the colors, like, didn't mean to interrupt you, but when you're talking about the colors, you feel like they're just muted and kind of all blend together, just have no life to them when you're looking at a lot of these covers?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that they're brilliant in execution in terms of there's lots of great colors out there, but nobody really wants to get bright and flashy, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. So I, back in the 80s, perfect way to explain it is a lot of times, and this is not to disparage anybody, but back in the 80s, so like when Marvel had the Star Comics line, you know, they weren't putting Jim Lee on Star Comics, you know. they, you know, so the more flashier, money-selling guys weren't on the Star Comics. You know, imagine if some of those guys like Dale Keown or Jim Lee or any of those real popular guys, Mike Zeck or somebody, was drawing, you know, He-Man or Thundercats, you know. Imagine how well those books would have done, you know. And so, and it's, again, no diss to anybody else there. We all been in the trenches, me too, where we're just busting our butts trying to draw comics, and some of us are, you know, fill-in guys, and others aren't. And so that's where I approached this one. I was like, what can I do to make this just completely kick ass, you know? that's what I want to bring to it, you know? And so that's the theory behind Dragon Guard, is what if some of your favorite books had a really striking art team, you know, and really flashy art, really flashy eye candy, you know, and that's the attempt, and I'm hoping that I execute it well, you know.
And now, are you doing the, real quickly, didn't mean to interrupt again, but are you doing the art, inking, coloring, and writing the story? Are you doing everything?
I'm doing a good chunk of it right now. I'm 20 some pages into the story, and I'm doing inks, pencils. A buddy of mine, Alonzo Espinoza, he's a colorist. He's doing the colors. I'm paying him, you know, kind of out of pocket when we first started all this, and a lot of my money just went to paying him and trying to make this look really nice. And so, yeah, it's just me and a little help from my fiance helping me with the writing and some other things. And then I've got a fellow by the name of Bob Stone designed the logo. You'll see the logo. If you don't see it, you'll see it on the Indiegogo page. He designed the logo. I've got a fellow by the name of Eric Weathers who's doing the lettering on the comic. And that's it. I mean, I'm just kind of running the show. And that's the whole purpose of the Indiegogo, was just try to help me fund this and make it happen, you know?
Now, how has it been so far? Is it been, you know, going in the direction that you obviously you want progress, but is it where you want it to be? Is it where you expected it would be? Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're doing really good. We crossed our actual, for the campaign goal, we crossed the goal like in our first 10 days. That was really awesome. Now the hard part is just keep that momentum going. We've got 60 days. We're into our like 47th day or something, or we're got 47 more days, I should say. And the whole thing is just to keep the momentum going because, you know, the blunt way to say it is while I factored in the cost of producing the perks and paying people for production and shit and printing, I'm not getting paid yet, you know? So as the thing goes along, now that we've crossed the threshold, we're working towards getting me a paycheck for drawing all this stuff, you know, because it's going to be like a 60 page book. There may be actually be extra pages with the stretch goal. We have stretch goals on there. So we have original for the perks. We have original art tiers where you can buy original art. What'll happen with the original art is you buy the original artwork. Then when the book's done, I'll send you a PDF, and it'll go in succession to the dates in which people bought pages. So if there's a page you like, if you're one of the early ones, you get to go in and you get to choose first. You're in line. You get to choose which page you like. And we've got metal prints, metal cards. They're aluminum based prints and cards. They're like trading card size and comic book size prints. And we've got a bunch of those things. So there's really a whole bunch of different things that you can purchase if you really like the artwork. And if you go there, you get to see the covers. I've got a cover, the villain's cover I'm working on, and I'll show you guys. I'll switch the camera over at some point when it's okay. And I'll show you the villain's cover. I've got the actual artwork in front of me. And there's the hero cover and a whole bunch of other stuff that we can get to talking about.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to definitely, after you show some of the art and the pieces, you can give all the listeners like a little description of kind of like what the story's all about, you know, just to get them a little sucked into this. So, hell, whenever you're ready to do it, I mean, hell, you can start showing the art now and you can start telling cool. the story.
Well, before we go, I'll tell you what, we had talked about it before going on, and I figured I'll mention it to the fans out there in the chat. All right, tonight, I've been doing this on my own live stream, and I figure I'll let you guys participate too. The first three backers during the show... During the show, not before or after, but during the Fans of Power, here's the deal I got for you guys. If you are really excited about Dragon Guard and you go to Indiegogo, the link should be in the description. I'm sure Nate's got it somewhere in there. And if you guys click on that, go there, you purchase one of the perks, whether it be the comic or the signed comic, things like that, you come back here. Give me your backer number. They'll give you a backer number. It'll say which number you like, your number 234 or whatever. You put your backer number in there so I can check that out. And then you get a free sketch, 6x8. We're on here. I'll tell you what, I'll show you guys in the camera, on camera. Let's see if it'll show well. I don't know if I'm potatoing tonight or not, but yeah, it'll be this kind of size.
Look at that beautiful Psylocke illustration there, people. That something like that could be yours for backing this wonderful project.
Yeah, you get a free sketch. Any character you like, I'll draw it up, and then I'll give you my email so you guys can email me and give me your address to mail it to. But it'll be free. Shipping's free. If you want to throw a little something for shipping, let's say you're in California and you want to throw me a little bit of money in PayPal or something like that for shipping, that's fine. But generally speaking, it's free. It's free. You guys are going to get it. All you have to do is backer number in the chat. Let me know what character you want, and then we'll go from there. All right?
That's his awesome. Sketches alone are not cheap, people. So he's given out three free ones here. So I'm just letting you people know you're getting one hell of a – this is coming from someone who's bought a shitload of his artwork here. So this is a wonderful perk for people who are interested. You want him to draw Slamurai. You want him to draw Too Bad, Clawful. He draws a badass Skeletor in Too Bad, people. Like, God, if you haven't seen those – oh, look at his Hordak. I mean, there's so many He-Man characters he hasn't drawn, too. So if you want to draw, like, Modulok, I've never seen him draw Modulok before. I mean, he's a shitload of heroes and villains. Kevin is not drawing yet. So you got I mean, you could take this opportunity to have him draw somebody he's never drawn before. But I think that's awesome that he's doing that. Or if you want him to draw, like, G.I. Joe, he draws awesome G.I. Joe and Thundercats and Marvel and DC.
Or heck, even another example, Kevin, could you even draw them as a character if they want to be in the Marvel Universe or Masters Universe? Would you draw a person, you know, well, the backer themselves?
It's harder to do it live just because I don't have their face in front of me or whatever. So, but I mean, it's possible. It just it would have to be after the show. That's the only caveat, you know, just logistically speaking, it's hard to get any pictures while you're live.
Yeah, because, yeah, definitely. I mean, you could still, like you said, if, you know, you wanted to do one after, if they wanted their face. But otherwise, yeah, just shoot it right here and bam, you start getting it going. I couldn't even imagine drawing like you do. I could draw a whole year on one piece and it would look nothing like anything, resembling anything good. So I don't have that kind of talent.
Well, hey, man, it's one of those things you had to get used to. I was nervous as hell doing YouTube streams, and when I first did one with you guys, and that was my very first one. And
oh, was it?
Yeah, and I was scared. I was scared to death. I was sweating buckets, and so, you know, I just had to get used to it. And then finally, with the drawing, I last weekend or the weekend before last, but when we launched, I did the free sketches thing for backers, and it was a lot easier than I thought it would be. It went a little faster than I thought it would be. It wasn't too bad. So I know I can handle that, and the stress isn't too bad. but I'll tell you what I'll do is if it's okay with Nathan, I'll flip the camera over and hopefully
it messes
up. And let's see. I'm going to boomer this up a little bit, I think. All right. Here we go. There we go.
Now, people who are listening to the audio, we're looking at the this is the Heroes cover. Is it not, Kevin?
Yeah, that's the Heroes cover.
Can you kind of pull back a little bit because we can only get
Part of it. Yeah. Let me see. I've got it on a rig that kind of looks like the spider from that beginning of Johnny Quest, that big robot spider thing. So it looks a little funny, but yeah.
This definitely has an awesome just fantasy vibe already just by looking at it. It looks great.
Oh, yeah, it's really coming into focus there.
And the camera looks fine for you guys?
Yes. Good image?
All right, cool.
And who are all the characters? Will you be able to, like, kind of point to them? Can we see your finger go blink, 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 or however you're going to
do it? Well, what I'll do is some of the characters have names. Some of them I still haven't settled on. And some of the people in the... on my streams and stuff will know, if you've been there, know that I'm very nitpicky about the names and things like that and trying to settle on something. But the main character here is Aetheron, this guy right here. And the general story behind Dragon Guard is that this faraway planet, alien planet called Mystera, and Mysterra, Mystera, and there's this ancient evil that reawakens, and it's fulfilling not a prophecy, but there's a set of conditions that happens where the sword bearer is foretold to be returning to the planet, and he's going to be the savior. And when all these things happen, there's a order, a mystic order of warriors called the Dragon Guard, and they're supposed to find the sword bearer and protect him and train him in the ways of using the specific sword. And what happens is you find out that the sword bearer is just a teenage son of a blacksmith. And a lot of situations happen, and then we find out he becomes the hero. He needs to be trained. And that's where we take where the story starts off at. And again, this character right here is named Aetheron. The female character right here is Elita. I did have a name for her. It was Valara, and I didn't like it, and I was playing around with it. So right now, I'm sticking with Elita right here.
Like it.
And then the feline character right here is kind of a Jack Sparrow kind of character. He throws a lot of people off. He's kind of just like a crazy, kind of almost like a drunken master, and really weird, just a really weird character. You can't quite get, you know, his bearings on what kind of character he is. And is he's a cat character, and I haven't decided on a name for him. And then in the background is my snake character called, it was from a custom I did a long time ago, and his name is Baron Boa. And okay. There we go. Those are the four characters in the Dragon Guard that we know of right now. Okay. And let me see. We're going to go over to another story page here for you guys to see it. Can you guys see it pretty well?
See, you might want to pull back a little bit because I'm not sure if it's... Yeah, okay, yeah. There you go.
There you go. You guys can see the page pretty well.
Yeah, actually, scoot it down just a little bit there, bud.
All right.
Because I feel like I'm not sure if like our live feed, like where my camera's at, is interfering with anything that the people are watching right now. But I mean, like bring the image, like is it towards you, like towards the bottom? No. You can pull back there. Okay. Okay.
Pull back.
Yeah, pull back. All right, there. Okay.
That working?
Yeah, I'll just stop messing with it. That'll work.
I'll be right back.
He's like, pull out.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, because it's on a rig, and it makes it harder for it to for me to get a gauge on where it's at.
I can tell there's a battle going on, and please, you know, disregard anything I have to say, because I'm right now looking at my tablet, and it's smaller for me because I don't have my laptop, so I know after the feed I'll be able to see it better. But I mean, I can tell it looks like there is a battle going on, I'm assuming, unless I'm cockeyed. I just want to know know what I'm seeing.
Yeah, there's definitely a battle.
Okay, good. Now, thing of this comic, you're not definitely, now, there's not going to be a lot of stuff about people getting grounded or relationships and crap and everybody's parents. Are we going to leave this out of there? We're just going to have fantasy and just, you know, just a great story of action and battle. Sorry I had to bring it up, but see, that's what I mean. This is, just look at this. You can look at this and tell this is just from the heart and love from somebody that grew up knowing what fantasy and comics and stories. I got to stop because I'm starting to get all worked up again.
No, it's good to emphasize that this is good ass-kicking, ball-busting, you know, machismo, which is what, you know, I think a lot of us want to see in our fantasy characters anyway. So, you know, it's good to, have vulnerable characters and characters you can relate to, but God, they do not need to be dumbed down to whiny, you know, teenagers who got no balls. You know,
Well, we don't, in the story, because it kind of picks up fast and loose, it doesn't stay very long with the teenager. And it's not one of those things. I mean, right off the bat, just so I can kind of clarify, it's not a Prince Adam, you know, He-Man kind of situation. It's not from that. I mean, it's so you won't get that kind of thing. It's a one and done kind of deal. At some point in the story, you will find, you know, you'll see the kid, and the kid won't be there anymore. Or at
I
least
love the shoulder armor, by the way. I mean, I love
it. Oh, it's
the
awesome. Very badass.
We need to figure that right there. That looks
well,
awesome.
Joe, why don't you put that into production, man?
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? God, it'd be a one of a kind since I can't mass produce, but I'd love to make a figure of this guy.
Yeah.
This is more pictures.
That's awesome, dude. I've seen a custom, man. It's so weird because, you know, when we had been talking, I'm part of a drawing stream, a weekly drawing stream called Drawn and Quartered, and we had talked about doing something you know, a lot of the creators on there do have a night where they do their characters when they launch Indiegogo or something. And we were talking about doing mine, but it's so weird because I haven't even, you know, I mean, I've written an outline and written like a Marvel style script for what I want to do and for the book, but I haven't, some of these guys haven't formed yet on the page. They haven't formed in my mind, you know? And so seeing other people take takes on them is like, I don't know if I'd like it, or, I mean, I'd like it because they're my friends, but I'd be like, it feels weird to me because they haven't even come to fruition in a way I like yet on the page. So it's like seeing other people with it, and it's like, I don't know how to take it, you know?
Right, I understand.
You know, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's so weird creating characters and watching other people draw them, and it's like, it's hard to step away from it, you know, and just let it be, you know? But yeah, you know, we've got here's another page, and I tell you what, while we're on screen, let's see if I can, I'm looking at the windows too and trying to see if I can help everybody. I'm going to zoom in real quick.
Well, yeah, if you can see what the people in the chat room, if they're saying anything, as long as they can say it, because I've seen a lot of these already, so I want to make sure that Joe and the listeners can see. Man, look at that close up there. That's got Arnold's Conan written all over it right there.
And so, you know, I was inspired by all these great fantasy things and Thundercats and that. You know, obviously I've got like the DVD sets and things like that, but the intro to Thundercats was that kind of energy and that life that I'd really like to bring to the book, you know, and make it really exciting. That's the big thing. It's just make it really cool for everybody. Here's the villains cover.
Yeah.
Right here. Let's see if we can get everybody. Can everybody see it on screen? Again, I'll pull it up and let you guys check it out.
You might want to have to pan over like a little bit from left to right to make sure, because from my perspective, like right now I've got three in camera. I just want to make sure everybody can see the whole roster, because we got five villains here.
Yeah, I see about five.
Yeah,
well, go ahead, shoot us. Like, you know, when you want, like, go close to the one, say who that is, and a little description.
Yeah, just close in on one character, and then we'll just kind of go from. Yeah, good idea, Joe.
Yeah, there we go. This is the main character right here. This is Cryptogore, right here.
Kind of got like an Egyptian theme or something like that.
Like an alien Egyptian thing, not unlike. I mean, not intentionally, but I mean, I guess the best, closest similarity might be like something from Stargate or something like that.
I always watch Stargate. And you called him Cryptogore? Is that his name?
Yeah, Cryptogore. C with a C. And there's some crazy textures on there and stuff that you'll see closer. Like if you go to Indiegogo and scroll down, there's plenty of this artwork and you'll see it close up, and you also see some of the colored versions so you can see the characters.
What's the story behind him, or are you going to kind of save that? Is that something you haven't said? I don't know if you have like a little story behind that character. Or
is the evil, the ancient evil that kind of returns kind of to the planet. Basically, he's a big threat to the cosmos. There's a whole backstory to that I don't want to give away. One of the things that really made it hard, and I've said this to people following me on some of my streams, is the hard part is, you want people to check it out and back the book and like it, and that requires giving them some information. And then the hard balance for me is not giving too much, because one of the things I hate the most in modern storytelling is when we see trailers and they give away so much of the movie.
Tyler can tell you about me, so I don't even need to go any further in that.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And so it, like, they give away so much of the movie, even if you haven't figured out the movie, you've given enough away that most people, if they've just put the look at the pieces, you can almost figure out the movie. And you can also, even if you haven't done that, all the best scenes in the movie are spoiled by the trailers, you know. And
completely relate. I understand. Yes, definitely.
And it's such a fine line to walk when you're trying to write your own book and promote it, because you don't want to give it away, because I think the audience, I don't take the audience as dumb. I take them as very smart, and I don't want them to put two and two together and figure out the giveaway, you know?
Sure, just a little taste. You give, like you said, a little taste, but you don't have to give more than that.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's a couple of characters. Again, this character right here, the big brutish kind of looks like a love child between Beastman and a Mogwai. I don't have a name for him yet. I'm working on it. It's one of those things where...
Don't call him Mogman. You don't want to have no combination exactly. like that. So leave that alone. He looks wicked, though. He looks ferocious. And she looks sexy.
And then the this character is Felina, the fairy witch. And you can see her right here.
What are the little details on her head? I'm missing the head thing. I just
There we go. Yeah, it's just antenna, basically. Got these kind of weird little curly antenna. And... then in the far top is another character I don't have the name for, but he's basically a lizard character of sorts, and he's got these big ball. If you go to the Indiegogo page, you can see it really clearly. He's got like these big ball mace things on his hands that, you know, he's got like grips on the inside, and he holds the maces, and they're spiked and stuff, and he can just basically slap and beat people down with them, and that's kind of what this character is. Right. See it right here, right behind his sickles here. There's that. And
oh wait, you skipped over the best character, dude.
I was gonna say you skipped somebody that had like horns.
My favorite character.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even realize I did. We're talking about it, you know. And this character right here is Manator. He's a character I made up a while back. It was during somebody's create a character contest. I won't say it. I
seeing one as a main character, because we've seen throughout Master's history like little ones in backgrounds or stories from another country that never had a main purpose. So to see one as a prominent character like that, I like that. Good choice.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. I love like Minotaur characters. They're just fun to draw. So this guy is going to be front and center, definitely front and center. And if you go to the Indiegogo, check it out. Scroll through all the artwork. There's great shots of him in color, and you'll be able to see it. Alonzo did a really nice job of making it really bright. And so here we go. And here's another page. There's a sequence. I won't say too much about it, but there's a sequence in the story where if you go to the Indiegogo page, there's a color page of my main character, Cryptogore, and he's summoning somebody from a big lava, you know, skull-themed lava pit thing. And basically, he's doing this huge, you know, not spell, but he's doing this chanting thing, and you see the lava, and then there's the skull.
Maybe like an incantation or something?
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
The word I'm looking for. I'm having a brain fart on. You got it?
That's fine.
And the skull pops out of the lava, falls down, and then it hits the ground, and then you start to see the lava seep out of the skull, and then the skull starts rising. You guys can see it in camera. And then the skull starts rising and then forming, and then here you go. You have this character right here. And this character is named Bahimagar, and he's just a big, huge, badass kind of guy, you know.
Like a behemoth. I even love the name. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's a good fantasy, you know, vibe to it. I like
it. Exactly. That's one of the things is some of the names come to me really well. Like, I play guitar a little bit, and a lot of guitar players describe, you know, when they bend a note or something like that, and they're playing a riff that they really dig. And the phrase is playing with feel, you know? And for me, it's the same way. It's got to sound right. It's got to ring true to your ear. For the characters, and that's where I'm having trouble with, you know, names and things like that. Oh, excuse me, I had to get a drink of water. So anyway, some of the characters have names, some of them I've got a long list of names, and I'm going through and going, okay, does this really work? Does this really work? And it's one of those things, it's a process, but you're seeing the originals here. You're seeing the love I'm putting into the pages the best I can and make these really nice. And here's another page with main character Elita.
Well, Kevin draws beautiful women. I've had him draw a few in some of mine. Tim, he draws some of the most sexiest like women, whether it's Thundercats, He-Man, Marvel, DC. I mean, he knows how to draw beautiful women, man. I mean,
and also
look at
the, being
look at
those
fun bags in the camera here. No, that's all I see is a close up on the. It's like Naked Gun 33 1/3. Ah, they look familiar. Can I get these enlarged?
and that's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that, because beyond that, it's fantasy like, and that's what people forget is, remember, it's a fantasy world. They're gonna have these extravagant and, you know, lavish outfits from the men to the women. I mean, you see, the men are real revealing. So it's another thing I get on where I just hate, you know, hearing when they say they make the women too sexy. I'm like, have you seen the guys in half of these stories? They're even more naked than the women, but they don't say nothing there. So I love that you're keeping this fantasy barbaric aspect and just beautiful designs. Like I said, all the characters look like they're just ready to kick ass, all of them. That's what I like. That's what gets me excited. That's why I didn't want to know nothing about this until we did the live. Like, you know, I was telling Tyler, I was like, I just want to see it as it's happening, just see if I'm starting to feel it. And just looking at it, I was like, I can feel the fantasy and the vibe, and it's just it's a great feeling, just looking great.
Oh, thank you, man. I in the chat I see that Curtis Ackerman said he's, I think he's backer number 237 or 230.
All right. Yes. All right, Curtis. Good job.
Hey, Curtis, you got a free sketch. We're going to do this live. We're going to go with it. We're doing it live.
Yeah, a little Bill O'Reilly there for you. We're doing it live.
We'll do it,
Curtis. Curtis, have him draw Sky High just for me. No, just shitting. Just kidding. Go ahead. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, no, you have him draw Lizard Man instead, Curtis.
Look at that. Could you imagine? Tyler's like, but no, I'm serious.
Yeah, I've had him draw Lizard Man. He's right up here on my wall. So he does a fantastic Lizard Man. So we don't have to question that.
Yeah, please, Curtis, get on this quick, because I want to watch this drawing happen live.
Yeah, this would be really cool.
Well, yeah, as soon as Curtis lets me know the character, what I'll do is I'll jump in here and we're going to see it live. You know, we're going to do this sketch live. Hopefully I can keep it in camera pretty well for you and stuff.
It needs to be a little bit more centered up, because we'll make sure I see all this here.
Okay.
There you go.
Is that center?
That's perfect. Right. That's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Now, you good at multitasking? You're going to be able to, like, if they start asking questions or do anything, you're going to be able to draw and still listen to what the heck everybody's saying? Just want to make sure you can do the multitasking.
Oh, yeah. Curtis says, how about Faker? Now, that's the man.
All right.
Good choice. Excellent choice.
Do you want battle damage Faker, or do you just want regular straight out Faker? It's fine with me either way.
Now that I'm curious to see. I'd love to see what kind of Faker he does choose. I remember the time where Axel did that. Not that I'm cheap plugging myself, I would never do that, but when I made a battle damage Faker and somebody bought that and then was liking it so much, they asked Axel to draw a, you know, his art of looking like my figure, and it was just kind of cool. So I'd be curious if he does want a battle damage. I'd love to see that.
Already done a battle damage of me as Faker right here on my wall. So
if you guys
want to see a close up of what, you know.
So I was like, look at this. He shoves it right into the screen. Somehow I go away and Kevin goes away. You just see Tyler holding up his picture there.
Yeah, I got to come front and center here at some point during this podcast. I mean, Kevin's taking over the whole damn thing.
So quick. Now, Kevin, you said how many days are left? 13 on the campaign?
Oh, no, there's been about 13 gone, and there's 47 days left.
Oh, 47 left. Well, that's great. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, that's even more fantastic. And they definitely do have the link in the description down there. But was there anything more you wanted to say about the project before we got to them asking you questions? Was there anything you still wanted to shoot out before we got to that part?
Nothing other than, hey, guys, you know, I appreciate you guys checking it out. I hope you back the book. I want to give you something really, really, really cool, really special, something... I don't want to disparage anybody by saying it, but I just want to give you, it's like another view on this genre that we love. And
that's sorely lacking. Now, I would like to say that, just to, you know, back it up. I mean, it is. I mean, you don't see many great fantasy stories anymore. So just, it is fans basically almost seems like it have grown up, like, you know, in our era are the ones that are keeping it alive. So we need more people to create stories like you know, you're doing. Hopefully it inspires. That's what's always great, is beyond us, you know, that grew up with this type of stuff, that'll love it. Hopefully you can reach that new generation and keep it alive in them. We need that, because we're just not getting that anywhere in media, it seems like.
Yeah, it's exactly how I feel about it. I just, I don't know, I don't know how many people I can reach, but the more people I keep reaching, I hope that, you know, somebody will buy the book, will sit down, they'll have a kid, their kids, and they'll see the book and kind of sneak dad's copy and check it out. I mean, it's going to be basically PG-13, so you don't have to worry about a lot of...
The classic PG-13. What PG-13 meant something, that you were still going to get a kick-ass film and not just, oh, this is just bullshit. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Tyler tells it how it is.
1989 Batman PG-13. Temple of Doom PG-13. Gremlins PG-13. That's the kind of PG-13 we're talking about here, people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I see Mark Anthony's in the chat there. Hey, Mark, that's one of my regular guys on my stream. He says 45.
We'll have to run on our guests to check on the chat room. How bad are we, Joe?
Yeah, I'm not here to do it this time. I was going to almost pass to Nathan and say, hey, Nathan.
All right, I'm back now. I'll hang around. I'll look for all the questions that come up. I full screened, I stretched out Kevin doing the drawing so everyone can actually see him in process.
Okay. Because
some people are like, stretch it out when he's showing the pages. I'm like, hey, man, he's giving you the tease. Like, if I stretch it out and you see the whole thing. Like,
yeah, if your nipples are hard, that's good. You know, we want you to do, you have to, you want a little bit more arousal, you're going to have to go, go to Indiegogo here, people.
Exactly.
God, he's been more than like 30 seconds, and I can imagine, this is just nuts. It's weird, like I said, when I draw stuff, it's like I'm looking at a photo for reference so I can redraw or draw some different stuff, but I can't do that out of my head. This is just, I'm fascinated by it. I know people are like, Joe, you have never seen one really on a live stream, somebody drawing? I'll be honest, no, I never really watched anybody do it, so this is... It's all new to me. Do you like erase lines and stuff eventually, or like? Well, yeah. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. It happens. It's one of those things where I get the kind of the rough drawing down the structure, and then I'll go in, tighten up a little bit more, and then I'll.
Yeah, I love seeing the process. Yeah, like how this is going. I know how you're gonna do. I was like, is he gonna draw over the lines? Does he erase the lines when he does the inks? And I don't know. I was mind blown. But yeah, Nathan, anything from the chat room? Any questions? Oh, that's it. I mean, if you guys have any questions just you want to shoot towards Kevin, go ahead and do it right now. Anything at all, and he'll be answering while he's blowing us away right now.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. Are you guys like taking just the general questions for everybody as well, or is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just make it all lumped together. Yeah.
And I made a promise to somebody. I said I wouldn't cuss on this episode. They said if I did, I would have to say MOTU anytime I reference Masters of the Universe
for weeks. That would actually probably be a good way to keep Joe from dropping F-bombs on the show, I guess. But,
yep, because I wouldn't. Yep.
I mean, that's never going to stop me from saying it. So.
Well, I mean, is anyone genuinely offended by language on this podcast? Like, or is it just this,
I wouldn't think. I wouldn't think. I think they just like giving a challenge to me to like, God, Joe, every episode. Can you go one episode? I was like, I could do it. I was like, no problem. And then somebody put up the challenge, like, okay. Then try to go this week without dropping any of them. But if you do, you got to say the MOTU out loud for a couple weeks when you refer to Masters. Like,
How are you? Are you just allowing these people to control what you say on this podcast here, Joe?
I like a challenge. I was like, I want to see if I can go right, one all episode. All right. Good. I mean, I haven't said an F. I don't think I have the whole episode, so I think I've
done it. No, I have already, so.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, right, I mean, as soon as Joe tips over something, then all bets are off. Grim 2 has a question for Joe, because it goes for all of us, but we already know the answer. So, Joe, are you looking forward to the last season of Netflix She-Ra? That's a yes.
It's a yes because I'm glad it's over. I'm not going to watch a single episode because in season 4, I don't know what I can't
wait to do it. You don't watch everyone on the chance of some jerk off be like, he just didn't watch Joe.
No, remember season 4? I didn't even finish it. I watched a couple. I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. So I'm just so glad it's over.
It took him 4 seasons to be like, you know what? Yeah. I'm done. Febmon asks, how much has Tyler paid you in total for the art that you've commissioned? It's probably been a good chunk of change, I would say.
Yeah, I got 3 right here. There's 2 more around the corner, and then I got more in the bedroom. It's a lot.
Curtis Ackerman has a question for Kevin. Are you taking other commissions right now, or are you like kind of balls deep with Dragon Guard?
Well, right now, yeah, with the commit. Basically, right now, I've got Tyler and a couple others. So right now, I've got a layback just so I don't overcommit. But keep in touch with me, dudes. KevHulk73@hotmail.com. Send me email if you want.
So Tyler's got you lined up for like probably 2 years because you got one each month. You got to do with him. It's
it's kind of. it's a little embellished, but it's not actually like untrue.
I can see it now. Tyler's like, what's his face and 10 Things I Hate About You, where he like holds up two pictures to Kevin. It's like, which one do you like more? And it's both pictures of Tyler, but he's wearing two different color tank tops. Which one would you like to draw more?
Well, Adam Gabbard asked me in the chat if I can draw 87 movie characters, and I can absolutely.
And he has.
Yeah, and so all you have to do is give me a shout out, dude. If you're thinking about getting Dragon Guard, to answer your question, absolutely, I can draw you a 87 He-Man or whoever, even if it's Langella, Skeletor. If you are so inclined, even Gwildor.
So what the hell does that mean? Like, as if like it's a damn handicap.
Uh-oh, here we go.
It means.
Who the hell do you think you are, Kevin?
Uh-oh, there goes.
He's like, we ain't back in this no more.
Just for that, I'm going to have to insert Gwildor into the next illustration I'm having done for you, just to spite you.
There goes all the money.
Gwildor is not usually the head of the pack as far as characters to get commissioned. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I think that's fair.
Okay, all right. I won't dispute that. I think it's just somebody's roundabout way of trying to give me the finger on the movie.
No. Oh, Lord.
He's probably been doing this so far for what, maybe 10 minutes, Nathan? What would you guess?
I'd say at least maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. If that, who else was it that was in? Because, you kind of had that question, Joe, earlier where, Zentron said, he, as you can see right now, he's going to ink all the main lines and then erase the pencil.
Yep. Exactamundo.
Zentron says, Kev, do you know of the character Durham Red from the 2000 AD Judge Dredd comics?
I am not familiar with him, but there's this little handy thing called Google, and... That will help me out at least a little bit in figuring it out. And you can point me in the right direction of anything I need to know in case you want one.
I guess Zentron just, I'm assuming, wants a commission of, like, Durham Red, like, beating up Joe and Tyler.
Come on, be realistic here with it. We all know no one's going to kick my ass, in the art or not. Exactly. I mean, it would look very, I mean, people are going to walk in your ass and say, like, you pay someone like that? Come on, that's not logical. We all know Tyler would be whipping his ass. And Joe would be over there clapping his hands with like a drumstick in his hand or something like that.
Always eating. Even when fighting, eating. I have to do it all the time. Great. Something to want.
And Nathan's over to the side dancing like Andrew WK. You know, that's kind of what I figured the three of us. That's what the three of us would be doing. If we were doing like an 80s action adventure, like Joe would be the eater. It would be like the three ninjas. Nathan's the angry as fuck Colt. You know, Joe is Tom Tom and I'm Rocky because I love Emily, right?
Oh, you know? Wait, that sounds... Wait a minute.
That did sound awkward for a second. Not his.
Papa Hoods asked, Joe, Nathan, Tyler, will you guys ever have a panel at PowerCon? Maybe one day.
We've been asked to have be part of one. You know, it's mainly just come down to, you know, the money to get there and Val having it set up when, you know, not around my schedule, but PowerCon was always lined up when I'm like, it's probably the worst time for me to ask off with my job. Nathan could go, no problem.
And then, and
Joe has VIP that's no one can meet, so therefore he's not going.
And then, the year that that kind of lines up, we have like some sort of, we actually have like a world pandemic that's probably gonna. I imagine could affect PowerCon. So.
Yeah, but yeah, we have been asked to be a part of it, and it was an honor just to be asked, and, you know, we definitely hope we could make it out for something like that and be a part of a panel with you know, I'm sure others would be part of it. I can't see it just being an all fans of power panel. I don't think that many people would show up for that.
Yeah, I could see.
Oh, they'd all show up. They'd show up in droves. In droves.
No, because they would be like, well, is Joe going to be there? Oh, no, it's just going to be Nathan and Tyler. Oh, well, I'm not going
to
show up.
And then it's just someone there asking me, Nathan, so who's your favorite He-Man character? Have you listened to the podcast? No. You're on a podcast? Yeah.
That would be wild.
Who am I?
And then I just pull a Keanu Reeves right there in front of Nathan. Nathan's like, yeah, that's funny. He's like, so can I have your He-Man collection?
Yeah,
that's what he asked. Yeah. My corpse laying sitting there in the chair.
Yeah, so we're good on that, right? But
yeah,
no, I think honestly the main obstacle would be getting Joe out of his house, convincing him to go with us.
He's like Stoop Kid on Hey Arnold.
Yeah,
you know,
Stoop Kid's gonna leave.
I've never seen the show. I don't know the. Yeah, I don't.
Are you familiar with Salute Your Shorts or Montana Max from Tiny Toons?
No.
God, Joe, you're too busy stealing books from girls in bathroom stalls.
what year were those? I mean, I don't mean to.
We're talking early 90s. We're talking like 1990, 89, 91.
Well,
there was some of those things.
Joe was too busy. You know, like, his favorite shows were like Eight Is Enough and shit like that, so.
Oh, you trying to put me that old? No, I didn't watch that either. I did not watch Eight Is Enough. When it came to Nickelodeon, I remember stuff like You Can't Do That on Television and
that was one of my staples of introducing me, that and Double Dare to
and Double Dare. I'd watch those like a lot. And I know there's a couple other which we discussed on Beyond Retro a while back, but there's a couple other like game show things, but I just don't remember a lot of the TV shows. So the Hey Arnold TV show, I don't know what that is.
Well, Hey Arnold, that was a later Nickelodeon. That wasn't even a favorite of mine. I only watched because my brother watched it a lot. It was, hell, it's not even worth explaining because Joe didn't watch Tiny Toons or Salute Your Shorts.
We'll just send him a YouTube clip or something later. Curtis Ackerman.
And Joe will pretend that he watched it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Curtis Ackerman said, Kevin did a Xanthor drawing for me, and it's my favorite Masters item in my collection. I want to have him do a group drawing with the Cosmic Enforcers, almost like a Green Lantern Corps.
I like that.
That's awesome, man.
You rarely ever hear somebody say they want Xanthor.
Yeah.
Yeah, when do you ever hear somebody want Xanthor out of all people? So that's great. I like good choices there, Curtis. I like it.
That's what's fun about like getting Kevin to do stuff, because there's so many characters that most people, if they draw He-Man, it's just the cliches. So to have Kevin draw something like that, or I mean, he's drawn, I've had him draw Huntara for me. I've had him draw the Tusker Warrior from the Thundercats line, Groom.
Uh-huh.
I had, I guess Joe didn't see it. I'm sure if he had, he would have said, I had him draw Clamp Champ with Stilt Stalkers.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see somebody draw the Stilt Stalkers. No one has ever done that. You know, so I had him draw Garn, the Larry Houston's version of Garn, the Native American version, all in the same one right here. I had him draw Azrog and Spider, which I got to have him do more of that because they weren't the focal points. The focal point. Like, I need to make them a bigger part in another one. Cobra Khan, he's drawn Blade from the live action movie. He's drawn Sorod. If you look good at like his Deviant Art or Facebook, you can see what Sorod looks like, which looks phenomenal. Regardless of Kevin's viewpoints on the live-action movie, he sure as hell makes him look good for someone who doesn't like it.
And he kind of goes outside of the box with that, too, because I had Kevin commissioned for me Gilman, the creature from the Black Lagoon, fighting Jaws in the depths of the ocean while like the cage that has been lowered from the orcas kind of just watching on in terror. So
yeah, it's unbelievably badass.
I had a question real quick for Kevin.
Go ahead.
I mean, this is just all out of your head. There is no reference or nothing you're looking at, huh? I mean, it's incredible just to keep the memory of just the design of, you know. I mean, yes, you could say, oh, we know that harness, we know the skull and crossbow, blah, everybody knows it. But still, it's just it's great detail. But just to have that on your head is, to me, just fascinating.
Yeah, really is. A lot of these characters I've drawn over and over again in one way, shape, or form. Some of them, you know, I think of my first live stream for the free sketches, two different people came on and asked me to draw Scareglow, and I actually had to reference Scareglow because I was like, how does this, you know, I couldn't get his collar.
The bone design, maybe the bone design.
Yeah, getting the right bone design there, not just, you know, just slapping on just any old thing, but try to look up the right right design and stuff. So I getting the little crack in his skull there. Yep. So yep. I wouldn't have remembered that because I don't get a lot of chances. I tell people at cons, you know, we don't do them right now, but when we're at conventions and stuff like that, one thing that a lot of people don't understand, I guess, is that if you don't draw something, you don't know. I mean, you know, you could be Alex Ross. I'm not speaking for Alex Ross, but I'm saying you could be Alex Ross. You could be me, whoever. And if somebody comes up and asks you to draw Bugs Bunny, if you don't draw Bugs Bunny all day, then you're not going to know how to draw a proper Bugs Bunny, you know? Sure. It'll look like some kind of weird amalgamation of something, and it might be kind of, hey, that kind of looks like Bugs Bunny if I turn it sideways.
I think we've talked about this before, Kevin, but you can be as open about it as you want to. What is the weirdest thing you've ever been asked to draw? I know that it was something sexual. I know for sure that it was.
Yeah. Easily.
It wasn't me, people, if you're wondering about
it. Yeah, that's what it was. Tyler's like, I want Porky Pig. Give me a PJ.
I wouldn't have come up with that shit.
Now the show's just going off the rails. But go ahead, Kevin.
It would have been Petunia.
Oh, that's great. Not that bad, but it was close. There was this cat that was at 2013 at the New York Comic Con, and I was down there for a specific book that was coming out, and it was with one of the actors or the comedians from Saturday Night Live I was doing a book with, and they had us wedged all down in the artist alley, and it was really tight. If you've ever heard that show, if you're not a somebody, I think even the somebodies, it's still wedged in really tight. All the artists are really packed in there. And there was this one cat that was going around and asking people for drawings of furries. But it wasn't just furries. he was starting to describe it to me. And I just was like, hey, you know, I've got this commission I'm doing right now, but I may not have time for it. But my friend over here, who's an inker, she'd love to draw something for you. And he goes over and starts describing it, and I'm hearing the rest of it. And the dude's like, not only wants a furry, but he would sit there and kind of add. He's like, he'd add little things. He's like, yeah, I want a furry, maybe kind of like a fox, but she'd have a ball gag. Can you do that? Can you do a ball gag, a furry with ball gag? And as you describe it, he would add more messed up stuff to it. If she had said yes, then he goes on.
Wait, starts adding
more to it.
I think there's, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I've asked you this one of the other times you were on, and I think Joe didn't know what a furry was.
Yeah.
I remember, it's all coming back to me.
Because
I remember, I said, what is that? I thought it was like, yeah, I had no clue, and then you described it. I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few people.
Into something.
So I kind of, as I was hearing him describe this, and then if she would agree, he would tack on more things about the description that she had to get right. And I was just in horror. I was like, yeah, I dodged that bullet. You can kind of, after you do this for a while, you can kind of see some of these things coming. And you just go, okay, let's see how I get out of this situation,
well,
you know?
I just don't know why someone would be like, all right, I'm going to go to New York Comic Con, and I'm just going to keep asking all of these artists if they can just do this for me. And that's how I'm going to spend my day. I just don't understand that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of money to spend, and then go there and then spend on the commissions, and then kind of have to make your way through there. The guy had looked like he had been, you know, at the show for a while and been lugging things, and he was very sweaty, very...
I was going to say, this guy had to have been, like, really, really sweaty. Probably, like, doing things with his hands, like, rubbing his fingers together, like, can you do that? Yeah.
It's not very far from what you're talking about, Tyler. I mean,
actually, he probably looks like that one guy in South Park who was watching all those monitors while he was, like, you know, playing with this big bottle of lotion. You can figure out what he's doing with the rest of it. But just that guy, if you know the episode of South Park... That's who on picture was asking Kevin or asking you guys for ball gag furries.
Exactly. That's some of the craziest things, man. So, as a pro, you're going to come across some of that every now and then, you know, whoever you are. It's just, how you can delicately get out of that situation is what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's like how, because I guess you don't want to be outright mean, especially when you're in public like that. But at the same time, just how disrespectful and rude is it for someone to just come up there and just ask you just a really weird off-the-wall request? It's like, dude, I don't do anything like that. I'm sure there are artists that specifically deal with that kind of thing. I imagine if you go to like Tumblr or something, then you could probably.
And that's probably it. That's a great example. It's probably, yeah, probably somebody that always goes to Tumblr for that stuff. But when you go to conventions where there's artists that draw stuff like this that aren't drawing crap, then yeah, it's quite different. So you can understand that for that person, it was probably completely normal because that's all they see on the. Almost dropped it again. Yeah, but either ways, yes, this is the kind of stuff I like seeing. Something where your character is either just looking intense, looking awesome, or they're in battles. That's stuff we grew up with, and as you can still see right now, bam, that's the stuff we need to see more of, is this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's
Curtis Ackerman had said, Kevin's art reminds me of the late Michael Turner. I love the long, muscular nature of the figures he draws.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm just happy to have you guys along and enjoy the artwork, and that's important to me. And if you get it, if you really like the sketches, the commissions, or the free sketches, these aren't even commissions, free sketches, go to Indiegogo, back it, show me, let me know your backer number, and then we go from there. You get
God,
a free
this
sketch.
Is looking so damn good.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
I just, Kevin captures Faker, so, I mean, there's just something about, like, Skeletor's harness on He-Man, and just something that Kevin, like the one Kevin did, it was, I think he did it at a convention for somebody, or a Faker on a Frankenstein table and rising up and screaming, like yelling, like he's been infused with all this power. And I mean, it's a very, and that's on his Facebook and DeviantArt as well. It's a very intense illustration of Faker. Like, God, it's one of the best I've ever seen.
And you bring that up, that is so crazy, because it's a weird story. It completely, somebody had me do that, I think it was Heroes Con, and or at least I had to have it at Heroes Con or something, and it's Faker on the table, and it, you know, the lightning, and it really invokes like the Frankenstein thing, and that's how they described it to me. And not much longer after that, if you remember, Super 7, when they did the Ultimate ones, had the Faker, and it, or maybe it wasn't the Ultimate, I want to say it was the Ultimates though, and the Faker had the little comic mock-up insert that was done by Axel.
Yeah, but, Axel did that too. Yeah, I've got that back behind me over here.
Yeah, and it looked just like what I had drawn. Like, you know, we had both, you know, obviously the production was probably somewhere along the line done, and I had no clue of what that, absolutely zero clue. And both of those pieces came out looking really similar, you know? And I was like, man, that's just crazy. You know, it's weird how little things like that happen. I mean, you know, I don't know if there's a description or another comic where they show that scene with Faker or something. I'm not sure. But
I think Joe's found every kind of nook and cranny that's got Faker depicted in any of them. I mean, you get that golden book, character book that's got Skeletor kind of assembling Faker, but...
Yep.
For the most part, after that initial wave, he's pretty much discontinued until 87, and that is it. So I just great minds think alike, Kevin. I mean,
and this was a commission, and somebody had came up with that, and I was just like, wow. And I saw it, and I was like, how bizarre is that, man? How did that happen? I did, you know, just crazy, you know. So that's one of those real, real crazy coincidences. You know, I know a lot of people wouldn't believe, but that's how that happened. I'd been meaning to tell you, to talk to you about that, Tyler, because it was just mind-blowing to me that situation had happened and that those two illustrations were so similar.
Yeah, I remember seeing those around the same time. Like, it's just, Yeah, because I think when you had posted that, I can't remember which one came first, but I just knew it was really close together when I saw both of them. Like, oh my God, like, you know, but it seems quite illogical. You know, it doesn't seem, I think we'd rather see Faker being assembled as opposed to just conjured up randomly in a Filmation episode as kind of a discarded character. You know, it's a character that's why it was so great when James and Grimbot, put all their efforts and the others that worked on it as well and gave Faker his proper episode, which, you know, I'd like to see Faker utilize a lot more in the canon and the various medias, because yes, it's a simple idea, but God, everybody loves the character. Like, I don't know anybody who Faker is always beloved. Mm-hmm. If anybody trashes him, it's some jerk off who's making a top 10 list of lamest He-Man characters, and here's why.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, comic book resources or some shit, or someone from DC shitting on the mythology.
Yeah, some YouTube clickbait site or something.
Speaking of shitting on the mythology, we might have that last issue of Multiverse next week.
Oh God!
So,
I guess I'll just come in at the last minute then, because.
Well, that's the thing too with the situation in the world right now. I don't know if that's something that's been put on hold or if that's been finished and they're still, because, you know, comic book stores aren't open. So if anyone's gonna read it, it's got to be digitally. So we'll see how that turns out. But a couple things. Papa Hood says, "Wow, that drawing is coming along nicely." Grim 2 says, "Oh man, look at those eye shadows. I suggested to have them in Return of Faker." Papa Hood 69 said, "Faker is looking intense as fuck," and that was all capitalized.
So. I mean, it's amazing, like to watch the rough sketch and scribble, so to speak, and it has become the evil robotic imposter. I mean, it's glorious.
Hey, thank you guys, man. I appreciate that. I need that cheerleading team on my own streams. That way, to keep.
See, this is why it's a drug to buy over from Kevin. He's like, "Oh man, look what he did with this character. Oh, what can he do with this guy? You know, I want to see Kevin draw these two guys fighting." And I mean, we haven't seen Kevin draw any of the dinosaurs. You know, See Kevin draw Bionatops. You know, maybe that's something in his near future. He needs to be drawing here. I mean, things like that, Hero and Eldor.
Well, the thing is too, when you guys go to Kevin for a commission, like Tyler's done before and I've done with mine, be as detailed as possible. Kind of let him know, like, the positions.
Yes.
Like, this is kind of how I want this character doing this. And as he starts to sketch it out for you, he'll send you progress pictures to be like, "Hey, what do you think? Is there anything that you want?" He really works with you. He wants to make sure that you get your money's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He works better under. Yeah, I want to hammer that in Nathan's point. He works better with details. The more detailed you want, you know, Lion-O fighting, you know, Skeletor, it needs to be like, do you want Skeletor leaping down at Lion-O? Do you want Lion-O coming down with the sword over his head? Like, it be as specific, and then he will give you exactly what you want. If you want to move it a little bit more to the left, he will gladly do that. I mean, even when I tell him it's great, he's like, "I think it looks like shit, Tyler. Can I take it back and work on it?" "No, it looks great, man." He's just a perfectionist because he cares that much, especially about these characters. Like, he's worked on G.I. Joe professionally. You got to look that up. He's done some beautiful G.I. Joe work for me. His work on Marvel, God, he's done some. Check out his Chris Claremont miniseries he did, X-Men Savage Land.
Uh-huh, X-Men Savage
Land. Yeah.
And I've done Masters. There. I did the most, probably the most, the recognizable, easiest one to check out is the Dark Horse mini comics collection. I have a Target exclusive He-Man story, mini comic story in there that was never published because they got a little antsy after all the two packs were having a little trouble. So it never, the two pack story never got published until the Dark Horse mini comics collection. It has that as a bonus story, so I am in that. And also, I did a cover, one of the back covers for one of the MV Creations He-Man stories back in 2002 or 3, something like that. So I've had
I will say this to if you haven't seen it, which I like to think a lot of people have, he did the Spin Blade, Smash Blade mini comics. What he did, a beautiful PowerCon print of Smash Blade He-Man versus Spin Blade Skeletor. That's easy to find. You can do a quick Google search or go to Kevin's Facebook. It is absolutely unbelievable. If you didn't like the variants, kind of makes you wonder what Kevin could do with a real shitty variant. Like, he could probably make Mega Punch He-Man look like, oh my God, like, I want that, you know? It's amazing what he did. I want to see Kevin draw Jungle Attack He-Man, like He-Man and his Rambo, like, I would love to see what he could do with that. Like, it's Ice Armor, because Kevin, you're a big fan of Ice Armor He-Man, aren't you?
Yeah, I really like the design for that. I'd like to draw it at one point. Yeah. And anyway, just to let everybody know, this is one of the sketches. What are you seeing live? It's one of the pre-sketches you get with... if you go to Indiegogo for Dragon Guard, links in the description, and you check that out. If you back the book tonight during the show, come back, give me your backer number, and we'll go from there. I'll put my email in there. And just tell me what character you want. You get a free sketch. This is one of the free sketches right here, Faker. Adam Gabbard says, Kevin, your hands are getting tired, are they? I was like, no, not yet. Not yet.
I guess we'll piggyback off of that. Like, how long can you kind of go before your hands really start getting tired that you know you need to take a break?
I did a live stream for about 4 hours doing these. And the only difference tonight is that I'm actually doing this on like a countertop as opposed to sitting down. So it's a little bit more frustrating because it hurts my back a little bit. But
see, Curtis, he's actually breaking his back for you here, people. If that ain't blue collar for our fans, I don't know what else is here, people.
There Papa we go. Hud's asked, fans of power, when are you guys doing an episode of Hero?
Like a discussion on the most powerful wizard in the universe? Is that what he's asking?
I guess.
I mean, we've touched on the character a little bit, but I guess I don't think we've actually devoted in a full like discussion to just the character.
We ever did was when we referenced the horrible one when James Etag joined us
for
we lost it on that. We had James losing it. He was like, my god, and he's cracking up and he's realizing how bad it looked. It's an awesome piece and the thing of history he owns, but he realized, dear god, this is terrible, the names of the characters, their designs. But I mean, that's something we could do. We could always go back to because I don't think we went in depth on Hero, but yeah, it's somebody that obviously it captured the imaginations of me and Tyler even when we were back then as kids.
I've gone back through it, just kind of reread like a shitload of the mini comics in the Dark Horse book, which is quite nice, like right before bed, just picking the book up and reading a bunch. And Powers of Grayskull was one I went and reread just earlier this week, and just having flashbacks of getting the T-Rex and then wondering who that shadowy character was at the end of it. It was such a great mystery. So yeah, I mean, we love the character absolutely. So it's we'll have to get Nathan involved in that too, and get his perspective on this character that just was not given the fair chance it deserves. Oh hell, we ought to have Kevin's. Someone get a free sketch with Kevin to draw a Hero. Because I want to see what Kevin's take on Hero is like.
We definitely didn't get a real story of Hero when it came for classics with these other two parts of the three.
Oh, God.
I was so angry with that. I hate it, especially Hero Unleashed, who did nothing but get killed. I was like, yeah, that's really getting unleashed. Sucked, and that is not what we would have got back then in the 80s. Do you notice when Joe opens his mouth half the time he's getting angry? Because I'm thinking about the stuff we should have got and we didn't get, and what we did get sucked. So,
I could write a better story in 10 minutes. The time it took Kevin to draw a Faker, I could write a complete three-part saga on the Hero saga from the mini comic line. I could do that right now. Somebody would.
All right, what you guys need to do is back the campaign. Tyler's going to start writing. He's going to get the story. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, and I'll have Joe give you a free custom figure. Doesn't matter how expensive it is. And then you can play video games with Nathan for free for an hour.
Those are the perks. How about they can? I don't know. They wouldn't want to play video games with me for an hour.
Are you kidding? You're getting Nathan like good and liquored up, and he's just like, "Oh, this game fucking sucks, man. Let's play something else."
It, like 2 minutes?
Oh no! You get to play SmackDown on PlayStation 2. Here comes the pain with Nathan, and he does Vince McMahon commentary the entire time. Oh, that's if you want to be the VIP, supporter of my campaign to get a proper Hero, most powerful wizard in the universe. Yeah. And we'll have Kevin do the artwork, of course, that goes without saying, and Joe will customize a figure of you or whatever, free of charge.
What was it? It wasn't triangle tag team ladder matches, was it? Was it just tag team ladder matches and we'd be on the same team?
Oh, tornado tag. Yeah, where we're just running around beating the shit out of like other tag teams.
But
yeah,
we'd make,
yeah,
like,
in the ladder match,
like really bad tag teams, like Chuck Palumbo and
X-Pac and Chuck.
Yeah. And Nathan's going,
oh man,
see...
Chuck's got the belt. X-Pac's time to suck it.
I see nothing in front of me. So what time is it, by the way? Anyways,
it's 10:22. That's right.
Okay, all right.
And I got to work tomorrow, so I'm not worried about time. So
I have a question for Tyler. I'm hoping he can help me out. I got something on a page that I paid for in one of the groups. It's from 1986. They said it was a candy dispenser, but it's some kind of Thundercat thing, and it's got like the Sword of Omens on the side. It's got this, the emblem that opens up, but do you know what the hell this is? Because I don't even know what I won, but I think it looked cool as hell. It was a cool Thundercats logo, and with the Sword of
Omens. Pull it back a little bit, because you got too close to the camera.
Does it not have like a company name on the bottom of it?
Or like a production like date on somewhere on there?
Hold on, let me see. Oh, wait. 1986 Telepictures Corp, all rights reserved, and then it says Superior Toy Pet Pending, but that's it. That's all it says.
Well, no, I'm not familiar with that. I would almost assumed it was something relatively newer.
You said the top of that pops off, Joe. You can get some of those cheap ass gumballs you like so much and just like put them in there and carry.
Yeah, I mean, because they said it was supposed to be a toy. I mean, like a candy dispenser, but it's just. I was like, how did I never see this before? I mean, right when I seen it, I was like, I gotta have it just because I love the cool emblem on it and the sword on the side.
I've never known you really to say so much about Thundercats. Hell, we used to try to get you on a Thundercats podcast. Like, I don't know who these people are.
Right, no, yeah. Most of the time I didn't know most of them, but it's just, some things catch my eye, especially when it's weird merchandise.
Did it come with food? Is that what you got? was there food in it when you bought it?
Like, Joe, this is a candy dispenser, and that's all I heard was candy. I didn't even acknowledge it was Thundercats.
So buy it now, $120, $10 shipping.
I need this? And then I get it in the mail, I was like, there's nothing in
Jim
there. But I just,
he was watching QVC, and Don West is on the scene. Jim Minton, go on, you can own this today.
Hopefully, maybe
Joe doesn't know who Don West is.
I don't know what's happening. It's like zoom, everything. Like, I know nothing.
Kevin, do you know who Don West is?
Used to be a pitch man for one of the wrestling companies.
Yep. Yeah, he was on TNA.
Yeah, there we go.
But before that, he used to shill a bunch of random shit on like the Shop at Home channel at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's always either knives or baseball cards.
Is this one of the metal cards you got here, Kevin?
Yeah. I can't see
cool
it.
Piece.
Oh, it's coming across on the screen.
Well,
but,
it's kind of glaring, but we could still see. I mean, you could tell that's a metal card. And
it's trying
maybe
to.
Maybe hold that angle like a little sideways to the maybe left or right. See if that does anything.
Yeah, usually
I want to pull it back closer to the table there, but that way we can get a full view of it there.
There we go.
Yeah. There's an idea.
Still, just to own something like that is it's cool either way, just even if not getting the whole gist of it, but that's just a cool piece.
Yeah, this is the promo piece. You'll see that on Indiegogo. You'll understand when you see it on the Indiegogo page, you'll see a good full shot of the promo page. But this
anything on the back?
No, it's just, it's aluminum, so there's nothing printed on that one, but these are the type of metal cards you'll get if you come there. I've been giving away, I've got some test ones that I got in a couple of weeks ago, and I was really happy with them, and I've been giving some away for people who wanted to back and things like that. Been doing a little bit of giveaway, and... hopefully that shows up pretty well.
Sort of. It's just a little glary, but...
Yeah, the camera tends to... It'll focus, and then you'll catch a little bit of light. But anyway, there it goes.
Will they be signed and numbered? And if so, hopefully on the back, so it won't ruin that beautiful art?
Yeah, exactly. Well, these are just the test ones for right now. And then... the backers, because I like the result of them, what they came out, how they came out. We have those in the perks and things like that. This is just a good idea to show you what you can expect from the cards. The metal cards are really, really cool. Tyler,
will there be like character cards too, like you know, like individual like character cards, or is it be like pretty much like, you know, shots of the artwork? Like what kind of cards will they be?
The metal cards. The metal cards are really kind of expensive, so at least a little bit, and so I will have a 8-character set, I think. Of I'm still trying to narrow down that, because that's going to be a it's kind of, now it's not a surprise, but it was going to be a surprise.
Oh, shit, sorry.
No, it's my fault. I mentioned it, but there's going to be 8-character. I'm trying to finalize the numbers, but there'll be a surprise perk, like around the 30-day mark of the campaign, and we'll drop that in, and that'll be another big surprise. It'll be certain artists from the Drawn and Quartered show that I do every week, and all my buds will just kind of, you know, draw a character, and we'll have a little tiny card set that everybody gets, and it'll be part of the stretch goals. A lot of the things with the stretch goals is that if you're not familiar, the way they work is at a certain amount, you know, a certain amount of money where it hits the goal, like you know, if it was 25,000, you'd get this. And, you know, let's say, you know, with the printers and things like that, I set one goal like at 40,000. If we cross the 40,000 line, then it opens up the perk to get a sketch cover variant of my book. And then some of those will have the ability to get custom little sketches on the sketch covers. So, so those things get unlocked as we, you know, the numbers get higher, you know. So if it's, you know, 25,000, 30,000, whatever, you know, whatever it may be, there's little unlockables that people get. Like, you know, you'll get a free metal card with everything, or you'll have the option to get 11x17 print, metal print, 11x17, like a comic size, comic artwork size print at 11x17. So, you know, those things get unlocked, and then you'll be able to get cooler things. And some of them are freebies that come with your order at after a certain point, you know?
Awesome.
Well, is that the end of the Faker? Because it's incredible. I didn't know if there's anything else you had to it.
Yeah, that's the last of the Faker. So,
and where do you sign that? Is it going to be, again, underneath or on the back?
It's signed right here.
Oh, good. I always like when the artist make sure it doesn't get all too much distorted into the art. It's like, I hide it or put it on the back piece. Like, I got a piece from Rudy Obrero I'll show next week, but it's it's that big one where he has He-Man slam dunking on Skeletor playing basketball. And I was like, oh, if you're going to sign that, could you put it on the back? So he did the signature on the back, but now I just got to get a frame. I didn't realize how big that thing was going to be. So
that's cool.
But that's amazing, Kevin. Well, before we wrap it up, I mean, you told everybody where to go, but is there any other links, places, anything you want to let them know and what to do so they could, you know, back your project? Or even, like you said, get in touch with you about, you know, doing some private commissions.
Everybody can check me out on, I have a Facebook page for my art, which is Kevin Sharp Art, and you can hit me up there and hit me up for requests and things like that. I have the Indiegogo campaign, which is going on right now. My Instagram is KevHulk73, like the Incredible Hulk, you know, KevHulk73 at Instagram, and KevHulk73 on Twitter, and you guys can check that out. And you'll have regular updates. That's another thing with the Dragon Guard. If you back Dragon Guard on Indiegogo, you get updates. You'll see the pages as they're done. I just finished the inks on this particular page here with Alita and the main female character. And I finished that out this week. And so you'll get regular updates. We'll be letting you know what these what these things look like. So you can always feel good about the campaign, and you'll get to know what's going on with that.
Well, I'm glad you reached your first goal, and I hope you reach every one of those stretch goals, because it's obviously, as you can see from just what he does, it's going to be well worth it. And I mean, aspirations, like, are you hoping, like, obviously once this comes out, is this something that you would like to, you know, do for like maybe more of a monthly comic or some kind of like graphic novel series? I mean, do you have like thoughts in your head if this becomes super successful, what you'd like to do with the whole property itself?
definitely would like to at least get three issues out of it. I have ideas for telling the story and where I want to go with it. The great thing about this particular project is a lot of it I don't have to hit my hand against the wall. Like a lot of the ideas kind of came as a, you know, as everything was going, it just kind of came naturally and very easy. And I think these are really fun. Dude, I just want to have fun drawing this. I had been for the longest time, you know, a fill-in guy or, you know, maybe a mini series or this and that. And I really hadn't had a particularly long stretch or a particularly well-known stretch of other things, with the exception of like G.I. Joe, Vampirella, Extreme X-Men. That one was, I did a little run on Legion of Superheroes. I did a bit, 9 issues of Legion of Superheroes. But, you know, it's one of those things, I didn't get a lot of chances to draw what I really loved. And or a lot of things that I felt were geared toward my strength. This is a better way to say it. And so now I get to kind of call the shots and give you the best stuff I can possibly pump out, the most badass stuff I can pump out. You know, I want you guys to be excited about it. You know, I wanted you to go like, you know, this is what should have been done when they were doing the Star comics. You know, and just give it the best. It's, you know, they're not the sideline guys. They're the best. They're the best players. They're the heaviest hitters. That's the way I've always seen He-Man and Thundercats, is that just like there was Marvel and DC, to me, there was Marvel, DC, He-Man, Thundercats. You know, those were things, were universes where, you know, you felt just as awesome all the way around. I thought those things could stand on their own and be just as cool as the other things, you know, and it just... it was one of those things that got me into drawing. It was one of the very first things that got me drawing things. I would see those, you know, when I got the He-Man figures, man, I was just like, dude, they're so beastly and stuff. And a lot of times I would draw the figures and things like that. I would just, it set me on my way, you know?
Well, since it definitely set you on a good path, just seeing this here, and we need definitely to support, you know, artists like you, a lot of independent artists and everything, just to keep this kind of passion alive, especially if it doesn't seem like it's really, you know, popping up in mainstream, you know, type of media, in comics or movies. So stuff like this, hopefully, it garners such a great following, has such success that maybe can lead to even bigger things. You know, you'd hope for, you know, what if it could turn into a cartoon? What if they would have wanted to buy the rights for the movies? And I wish you all the success in the world, man. I hope this does gangbusters fantastic and leads you to a very great path in the entertainment
just
world.
Promise me, if it does get a feature film, that you will not cast Tyler in it in the lead or anything like that.
See, you beat me to it. I was going to say, Kevin, I will be more than happy to play the lead. And then Nathan comes along and decides to piss on my hush puppies.
I think if this becomes a feature film, you got to go for like a Channing Tatum or...
You really want his property to fail, you were giving him the finger right here on the podcast.
How about Chris,
the
tater. Chris Pratt? Chris Pratt would be perfect. There we go. And then just make Tyler like some sort of new character that's like a lackey to his character. It'd be great.
With the background character that gets killed in 3 seconds or something for no apparent reason.
Then I'd make sure I would make Chris Pratt's life a living hell on that set. And I would do everything I could to just bust that guy's nuts. Every chance I could record it, you know, and then post it up and just expose him for the fake phony asshole that he is.
Look what Nathan did. He had to get Tyler upset at the end of the show. Tyler was feeling great and he had to do that to him. Well, Tyler, what did you want to say in closing before we wrap it up to Kevin?
Anything I will say, like, Kevin's appreciation for him and Thundercats, like the current illustration he's doing for me is a crossover between those two. And when it's ready, I'm going to share it with everybody, and it's, you know, what I've seen so far of it. I mean, it's pretty badass. Like I think of it as the crossover we deserve, you know, because it's really emphasizing, like, you know, what I think we all would have wanted to see had the property been put in competent hands. And, I'm like, God, I can't wait to see it. Like just the snippets Kevin has shown me, it's like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this, the full blown up thing. That there's characters that are in this thing that Kevin hasn't drawn before prior to this. And some that
aren't
drawn.
Are you featured in it, Tyler? Are you?
No, I'm not. I've essentially kind of retired myself from being.
Oh, you have? Because I was like, I'm sure it'll be posted everywhere.
No. I'm not in this one. If I'm in another one, it's probably going to be, you know, I'm just, as of right now, I just don't have the desire to, you know, I've retired.
Your ego can only have so much on that wall. That ego wall is just loaded already. It's like, just to cut
pretty
back
much.
A
I'm making bit. I'm making room for just traditional He-Man at this point. You know,
the landlord says if anything else starts to go on and more space is being used, it's gonna have to charge him an extra like $250 a month.
I think I went way beyond that. I mean, my security deposit was soaked up years ago, so.
Please, there's gonna be like 1,000 nail holes all over.
Oh, believe me, it's already like that already. With just the He-Man room alone, I've got. I even got some more of the He-Man magazines for their old Norm posters. So I've got the Asteroid Field poster and He-Man riding a lion fighting Ella Skelter with the elephants posters to put in frames. And what Kevin did for me is a double page, so it's a big ass illustration of He-Man and Thundercats getting ready to duke it out. So
the new people that would move into wherever you move out, they come in, they see all these holes, and like, was there some kind of like psychopath in here that was putting all his victims on the wall? That's
so
what they
you have no
is.
Idea who lived here. Like the guy, like, you know, they'll be doing like documentary specials about me on Reels TV and all kinds of shit. Yeah, they'll be interviewing Joe, but his mask will be pixelated, so that way people won't know what he looks like.
Even a pixel, you know? Exactly. Not only not at my face, but not even my mask.
And his mask is all pixelated, and Nathan's dubbing over his voice. You know.
Oh my god!
And then Kevin's drawing like, you know, reenact or doing like, you know, crime scene photos and photos of what Tyler looked like, you know, when he lived here at this point here and all this kind of stuff. It's just a picture
those
of me.
Those quick courtroom, you know, sketches they do or something. Yeah.
But or they show the picture of me, of Kevin drawing me as John Matrix in Commando, you know, something like that, you know.
Well, Kevin, I was going to say, man, it was a blast having you on, and we're definitely going to have you on maybe a week before your campaign ends, because we'd love to hear the updates and see how it is. And for those that, maybe still did not back or didn't know about it, they can see it right there towards the end with a week left, and you get some more people aboard and really smash all those goals.
Thank you guys for being kind enough just to have me on and to let me promote it and talk to everybody about it, you know. I'm a huge fan of all those things. I really am. I drive my fiance nuts with it. And I'm right there with you guys. I want it to be handled well. I want it to give it its proper due. And if I'm not able to do it, I'm definitely going to, at least through my own book, keep pushing that genre, keep pushing that and letting you guys know what I'm able to do with it. You know, I may not get a chance at it right now, but someday down the line, maybe so. So we'll see how it happens.
It was great, man. An incredible piece there live. You got to see drawn of Faker. Just amazing. So that's just a taste, just a sample of that's something that's quick. Imagine what he does when he even takes his time. See what he did.
And people, if anybody else who gets more He-Man illustrations through this, you know, share them with us. You know, let us know what you got from Kevin. You know, if you got, you know, a clawful, if you got a man at arms or whatever, you know, we'd love to see what you had Kevin draw. So, you know, let us know, you know, keep us up to date about anything connected with this. If you guys purchased it and backed it, you know, let us know. We just want to know that we're all helping each other out here.
Exactly.
It's all about
at
all. All right. Well, I was going to say, I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. And if you're new to the channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you know when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful day.
You want to know something, kid? I don't think this is any synthesizer.
That's
can you get that, Kevin?
That's Invasion USA.
That's the easy one. Tyler made it a little easy for me. I know it's from Masters of the Universe movie, and I think it was.
Dear God!
Was it Lubick or whatever? Lubick.
Yeah, Lubick. Yeah, look at that, man. You guys suck. Holy Kevin just buried both you guys on the podcast.
There you go, Kevin. That's the way you got to do it, man. So see you guys next time.
See you guys.